Hello and welcome to this episode of the Corporate Buzz Podcast. I'm your host, Keetana Tiwari, and I have Moneycontrol's Corporate Bureau Chief, Prince Thomas, to talk about the top news from India Inc. Hi, Prince. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Keetana. Thank you so much.
Prince, this is really exciting because the next week we may see the vaccination starting in India. And can you tell us about the preparedness of the country overall, how we are prepared in terms of distribution, logistics, etc.?
Yes, so, yes, Kirta, I think it's just the moment that we all been looking forward to. I think the crucial thing will be that the whole infrastructure that's being created will get tested. Now, we have had a couple of dry runs in few states. And that would give the government and all the stakeholders who are involved in this some idea of what the challenges would be. But given the scale of it and we're talking about vaccinating 30 crore Indians, that's 300 million people in 6 months, it's quite a humongous task. And I think if we achieve that, that will be quite an incredible feat. Right. Now, it will test everything because, you know, if the vaccine is coming, say, from Pune, where Serum Institute is, or from Bharat Biotech, which is in Hyderabad. So each and every leg of the journey till the last, which is the clinics or the hospitals from where it will be administered, it's very critical because both these vaccines have a limited shelf life. And while their storage requirement is not extreme, I mean, they don't need to be required at minus 25 or 70 degrees Celsius. But it's still critical that the sanctity of that temperature control has to, you know, be maintained throughout the journey. So all kinds of companies are involved, right from the companies who are making it to airlines, to airports, the transport companies who have now specially fitted trucks to transport them, and even packaging companies, because these would need special packaging and they need to be re-iced at regular intervals. So all these things will need a huge logistical, it's like a logistical puzzle, because you would need a frequent supply of all these things. And it's going to be like almost like just-in-time manufacturing that we see in auto. I think so. It's going to be very, very critical. It's going to be very crucial because we can't afford anything going waste. You know, for anything, there is an error of margin. And how much ever we try, there would be some bit of wastage happening. But I think we can't afford to let it go beyond that. So preparedness is there. Moneycontrol has spoken to logistics companies, to airlines, airports, even the pharma companies, and from the government point of view also. I think everyone is geared up, but I think the real test, and despite the guidance, we know what it's going to be. I mean, we get an inkling of what it's going to be. But I think the real test will start when the vaccinations are given at the large scale that it's been envisaged.
Right. And two other news pieces that we came across this week was, one was that Pfizer will be the forerunner in all the distribution of the vaccines. And also that there are 40 destinations which will act as, you know, distribution points from which it will further get distributed. Can you talk about that? And I mean, does this mean that other airlines will not be as prevalent as Pfizer in the distribution?
So what's the benefit Spicejet compared to, say, even bigger peers like IndiGo, is that Spicejet has a dedicated cargo arm. So 2 years ago, it set up Spice Express, which is its cargo, specializes in cargo operation.
Right.
It is not to mean that other airlines don't. All airlines carry cargo in the belly of the aircraft. So even as a passengers, they fly passengers, there is cargo in the plane. But Spicejet has an advantage because it has a dedicated cargo vertical itself. Okay. And that's why it has been able to make the most of it, because it already had a network of warehouses across the country, and then it had the dedicated aircraft, and also on the ground, it has a ground support also. And now it has tied up with almost, you know, over a dozen of partners from different areas, be it the truckers, the packaging guys, people who give cold storage facilities. The Ajay Singh family, which is a promoter of Spicejet, they also floated a new company called Spice Health. So right. these are labs which will be used to, already they have been used to test for COVID, and these labs will also be used for administering vaccine. But these labs are few in number. Right now, I think there are about 10 or a dozen. Larger scale would be when Pfizer would be reaching out to all the other government owned centers from where the vaccines will be administered. So Pfizer is surely up there, but I'm sure even other players like Indigo, especially Indigo has the largest fleet in the country, so its cargo capacity would be much higher than any other airline. So Indigo will also make the most of it, and so would be most of the other airlines. I think Indigo's network, because it can reach to more places in India, and then Spice's specialty because it has a cargo arm, these two airlines would be probably at the forefront of transporting, air transporting vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
And then the focus would be to create as many hubs as possible. Like you talked about the 40 spots. I wonder if 40 would be enough. I think there would be need for more from where, you know, these vaccines will be distributed and going to smaller places and where they will be administered. So
right.
It's quite a network, very exhaustive, and probably the largest ever that will be done in the world, because population itself is so high. I don't think the situation was that serious in China, but in India it is, and that's why we need this kind of an exercise.
Right. Let's hope for the best and see how everything pans out.
Sure.
While we're talking about this week, we also saw a tussle between Bharat Biotech and Serum Institute. Can you talk a little bit about that?
You know, just the day after all the drama that we saw at the press conference of Bharat Biotech's promoter, the next day both Bharat Biotech and Serum came out with a statement saying that, you know, they are together in this effort to fight COVID.
Right.
But then competition will surely be there. I mean, how much ever they, whatever they say publicly, this is a free market, at least partly in terms of vaccine, because government will subsidize much of it. But then they will be also be selling commercially in open market. And when it comes to that, it is all about competition. So Serum has already announced the pricing for the vaccine. Bharat Biotech hasn't. But the word on the street is that Bharat Biotech's vaccine will be lower priced. If that is the case, then that will surely play a role, will be a big factor for people to choose
right.
the vaccine. And then all the information about efficacy, how many doses, you know, reliability, or what is the data up there. And we know with Biotech, there's a problem because the third phase data is not there, which is very important.
Mm-hmm.
So I think customers overall are kind of better informed. I don't know how much it would be when you go into the smaller markets. I think the government should take a call in making a pragmatic decision for the people.
Right. Now, moving on to the next topic, Prince. The new H-1B selection process will come into effect in March.
That's right.
Can you explain what the latest rule is?
All these visa permits and quotas were actually kind of a lottery, literally, because all the applications were actually selected randomly, like a lottery, till now.
Mm-hmm.
But now, the U.S. Department, the concerned department, it's the Department of Homeland Security, it has said that it will process all the application based on wages. And what it wants to do is that it wants to favor the higher paid employees when it processes these applications, which basically means all the guys who are there at the middle and upper level jobs, they are the ones who will be probably getting, have a better chance of getting the visa now. Most impacted would be the freshers, because many of these science and tech engineering graduates, they, and freshers, they are among the major applicants for these visas. They may get impacted. And that is something will impact them. While the IT companies may have a better understanding now and a better understanding of their need and how much to get courses, because now it's not a lottery, but it's based on wages. But the flip side is that their costs may increase. So all the Indian IT companies, despite them, you know, trying to bring more work to low-cost regions, they still have a huge job hiring in the U.S. So this may actually increase their wage bill by a bit. Overall, I think this will also mean that students are regularly now increasingly looking at other options other than US, mm-hmm. which has been a traditional favorite. But now they are more looking at Canada, Australia. I think those countries will become even more of a favorite than the US because of if this new rule gets implemented in March.
Okay. And also, since the country has been speaking a lot about Atmanirbhar Bharat, do you think that students will consider coming back to India after their study abroad?
Well, I mean, nationalism talk and patriotism is fine. But I think when it comes to really taking a call on your career, you have to take a sound and objective, sound judgment. And it all depends upon what the country and the market has to offer for your talent. You know, I think that should be the only criteria. As of now, it's a question mark if Atmanirbhar Bharat has really been successful. It's too early. Mm-hmm. I think we have to give few more years to the whole program because we really haven't seen the impact on the ground till now of how much it has helped the companies and in employment generation. I think it's still early days.
Right. Now, coming to the auto sector, Prince, I mean, recently Mahindra launched its vehicle Thar, and it has been slow in terms of production. But in contrast, if you see many other companies, they have been speeding their production at this point because the consumer demand has also been rising. Can you explain what exactly is happening here?
So I think so this week we've seen a couple of launches. I think we're going to see more in the coming weeks. Mm-hmm. And also there's also some bit of excitement again on electric vehicles. And I think everyone from Tata Motors to even the luxury car makers, they have lined up electric vehicles later this year. So I think we all are coming from a very good auto sales during the festive season, New Year. And the hope is that with the launch of new models, new variants, the demand, you know, the companies will be able to keep the demand intact or even, you know, help it increase, push it even more. So companies have been kind of trying to tweak their production, remove the bottlenecks, increase the capacity. Mm-hmm. So it's not just Mahindra Thar. I think there are a couple more other models which also have a waiting period. But yes, no waiting period is as long as the Mahindra Thar because this is going to take 10 months. I mean, Like Manikantan said, if you book now, you may get the vehicle only by Diwali.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know how many people would have the patience
right.
in this kind of a market when you have so many options in the same segment to wait for that. I mean, you really have to be passionate for that particular model to really wait for so long. And it's not just that Thar has got a booking which is unprecedented. I think some of the other models, including that belongs to Hyundai, also have similar or even more of an initial order after the launch. But they've been able to manage and the waiting period is not even half as long as this one. So I think it brings to the whole question about what Mahindra can do to really improve upon its production capacity or the way it plans its launches. But overall, I think the demand is there. People are now interested in, interested in buying cars and vehicles. The critical thing is how much of this can the company tap into? And the last thing they want would be for people to wait for them for 10 months to buy a car.
Prince, what would the year look like for auto, the year 2021?
It's going to be very critical, Krishna, because auto, it also has an impact on other sectors because if there is increase in demand for vehicles, then, you know, the raw material, the raw material demand increases, so which is steel and rubber and other things. And then also there's a huge industry that gets pushed by the auto industry, which is the ancillary industry. So that is all of these medium and small enterprises, which are huge employment generators. So if there is a push for auto, I think there's a huge effect on other sectors also. Mm-hmm. It really helps on employment generation. So that is very critical that auto would do should do well this year. And depends upon one, on the general economy. We are hoping that the GDP comes back. The contraction narrows down and, you know, we get back to the growth path again with the next financial year. And then the companies would be able to come out with exciting models and variants that will keep the consumers engaged. I think that is very critical.
Right.
So many factors have to come into play and sync together for vehicle demand to go back to pre-COVID level. But I think we are getting close to that mark. Let's see what happens next month when the finance minister summits the presents the budget.
Right. And while you're bringing up the budget, I also wanted to ask you about what MSMEs are expecting from this budget. We especially spoke about Atmanirbhar Bharat, and the government has been talking about it for the past year. Mm-hmm. So what kind of reforms are we expecting there?
So, you know, MSMEs, like we have always said on Corporate Buzz, are extremely critical because I think they employ almost half of the workforce in India. They also they also generate about half or even more of the exports that India has every year. So they are very, very critical when it comes to economic activity, employment generation, mm-hmm. everything. So, but at the same time, they get impacted a lot when an economic shock like a pandemic happens. Because, for example, if you see the steel sector, you will see that most of the bigger steel companies, they're already, reporting better numbers year on year in terms of sales or production. But if you look at the smaller steel players, you know, the so-called secondary steel makers, most of them are suffering. Many of them are still not reopened. Some of them have actually gone out of business. So, because that's because they don't have a deep pocket, and that's the whole challenge that here the finance ministry would have, is to how to really incentivize and fuel this MSME sector. And they have a few concerns. One is about GST compliance, because it seems it is pretty complicated. Also, in terms of like I talked about the exports, they are very critical for exports. At the same time, when it comes to payments, it seems it's very, very bureaucratic and process driven, not process driven, but very bureaucratic in the way that payments have to be done. And it actually harms the Indian trader. So can the government do something on that? And also, we know that the banks have good liquidity right now, but there is a hesitation from the point of view of the companies themselves to take more credit. Because they're not sure if they will be able to service the loan that they're taking. Will they be able to pay EMI? And the banks are also reluctant to lend to the smaller companies, right? because the whole same concern is there. So can the government do something to, one, incentivize the banks to lend to MSMEs? Can they also incentivize NBFCs? Because NBFCs play a big role in financing the smaller companies.
Right.
So these few things will be very critical to really encourage this segment, which is very critical for Indian economy.
Right. It will be very interesting to see how things get back on track this year.
Yeah, I think we all are very, very keen.
Right. Thank you so much, Prince, for all these details.
Welcome, Kitna.
With that, it's a wrap on this episode of the Corporate Buzz Podcast. If you have any other queries or suggestions for us, please do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thank you for listening.